Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We were talking yesterday about Acts the 10th chapter, about Peter and Cornelius and the household of Cornelius. Peter, having been raised as a Jew, one of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and yet he was given the call, the job, the task to go and preach the gospel to Gentiles for the first time. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how he began his journey to remove the prejudicial idea that Gentiles were inferior to Jews. There was some peer pressure that's recorded over in Galatians, the second chapter and verse 11, that Paul, writing to the churches of Christ throughout the region called Galatia in the book of Galatians, said that he had to withstand Peter to the face because on one occasion he was to be blamed because before certain brethren that were Jewish by heritage, certain Christians, but they were Jews by nationality, before they came, Peter was in a situation with Gentiles who had been converted to be Christians, and Peter was associating with them as though there was no prejudicial situation whatsoever, no bias. But when those Jews showed up who were Christians, Peter looked and saw them, and all of a sudden he just gave the cold shoulder to his brethren who were from Gentile nations. And that was hypocritical, that was prejudicial, that was wrong, that was showing a respecter of persons. And we've talked a little bit yesterday about how that it has been revealed in God's holy word, not only here in Acts 10 and chapter 11, but also in the book of James, that God teaches us not to show partiality on the basis of race, not to make someone be lifted up beyond that which is measure, or to put someone down, but rather to consider all as being God's people and God's children. Does that not mean that we give honor to whom honor is due with regard to the things that we are taught about the word honor? I recommend you go to markjward.com, to the website, and listen to the word study lesson and follow along with the outline that is there. Just click on the outline and follow along as the audio lesson proceeds to talk about the various things in the Word of God where He demands, He teaches, He instructs those who want to please Him to give honor where honor is due. But there is no honor in racism. There is no honor in prejudicial action. And Peter had to make that right, as he did other things throughout his life and even in the personal ministry of Christ up to including right before Jesus was crucified. Yes, Peter was human, just like you and I. Cornelius was human, just like you and I. Paul was human, just like you and I. Sometimes we may revere these people above that which is written. We're not to do that. We are to esteem them highly for their work's sake, but know that when they spoke and when they wrote the words of God, not the mere words of men. So let's go back to Acts the 10th chapter, reading from the New American Standard Version this week in our studies together. Peter, reflecting on the vision, verse 19, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." He gave these people lodging. They were not Jews. He was doing good. And on the following day, he went to Caesarea with the men and with a company of people that were small in number, it seems. And when he got there, Cornelius not knowing all about the Word of God, kneel down to worship Peter. He was showing respect, but he was also paying homage, and Peter said, "Get up, I myself am also a man." Verse 26. Cornelius loved God so much, even though he was not yet a Christian. And he was a good man. So we need to realize that good men and women are not Christians merely because they're good men and women. Now, Christians who are men and women should be good to be pleasing in God's sight. But they were outside the body of Christ, and they needed to get into the body of Christ by becoming new creatures. And they heard the Word of God being preached. The Holy Spirit, baptismal measure, fell on them in that gathering, that is the Gentiles, the household of Cornelius, as it did on the apostles in Acts 2. We're going to notice a little bit of the terminology that's mentioned there. Was this to let them go into all the world and preach the gospel as eyewitnesses, or were they going to be called apostles? No, apostles were those that had been eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, those during his personal ministry, and Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, he was an eyewitness of Jesus, spoke with him, and the resurrection. In chapter 10 of Acts, we find in verse 46, "For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered," notice, "surely no one can refuse the water." Oh, God makes it plain for us. "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them," or commanded them, some translations say, "to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Then they ask him to stay on for a few days. The Bible is consistent with regard to what it takes to become a Christian to those who are being instructed. There was an occasion later that's recorded in Acts, the 11th chapter, where Peter is going to explain this and give an account to this to Jewish brethren. And he's accounting so much. "The Spirit told me to go without misgivings." Verse 12, "These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house." And then he reported about the angel standing in the house saying, "Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is called Peter, brought here." So both sides, both Peter's iteration of what was going on, and Peter's giving the account for the most part, though Luke is writing the book of Acts. And he says, "Therefore, if God gave to them," verse 17, "the same gift as he gave to us, after also believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" And the Jews, the Jewish brethren, when they heard this, verse 18, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." That's exactly right. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Romans 16 and verse 16. So, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Romans 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Yes, to the Jew first, Acts 2, Pentecost, and also the Greek, the Gentiles, in Acts 10. Just some estimate 3 years later after the Pentecost recorded in Acts 2. What a wonderful example of a man who was not raised at the feet of Gamaliel, who was not schooled necessarily in the old law, but knew of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the fact remains that he had an opportunity to obey or not obey. These people didn't even have a gun put to their head. But it wasn't just Cornelius becoming a Christian, but those of his household, but only those that responded to the gospel call, culminating in water baptism. And how can we know it was water? Because after the Holy Spirit baptism, we've got verse 47 that says, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized. Oh, water, 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 you're a water dog. Yes, some have claimed that that's the case. That's a pejorative phrase that is not true. It's persecution. I deny it. Oh, I don't deny that we must have water. It's essential. It was essential in the case of Naaman the leper in 2 Kings 5 to go to the water that was called the River Jordan, not to some of the better, in his estimation, places with water when he was grumbling and complaining and moaning that things weren't going like he wanted. He was going to get his leprosy cleansed, and he's over there grumbling about which water. And the little servant girl said, if there was some big, great production, paraphrasing, then would you go? If there was some big, great production, would you go? Why don't you just go to the River Jordan, dip 7 times, and be cleansed? You know what? Sometimes, as we say, out of the mouth of babes. Yes, sometimes out of the mouth of babes we get what we need to hear. And that is, do what God says do. You're not going to earn your salvation. You didn't die on the cross. You and I don't live perfect lives. But if God wants us to submit to water baptism to emulate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 particularly, after, of course, being believers in Christ and being willing to repent of our sins, being willing to confess with the mouth, Matthew 10:32 and Romans 10:9-10, unto salvation, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, like the eunuch did, and to be buried with him in water baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, we will rise to walk a new creature, ready to start a journey as a child of God. Now, there were some problems concerning circumcision. We're going to jump on over to Acts, the 15th chapter. And we would like to see that there was an opportunity for various people in that audience to decide to do good or to do evil, to please God or not. There will be things over which we disagree. We've even talked about some controversial matters in this lesson concerning Holy Spirit baptism. If it warrants future study, let's get together. If you have Bible questions, please go to markjward.com. Scroll down until you get to the section called Questions. Put in the information and ask your question or give comment. And if you want to hear back archives or issues, episodes of this radio program, they're contained for your consideration and review. Or if you miss them, go and click or tap on the antique picture of the radio at that same website, markjward.com, and you can see from episode 1 forward, if you've connected to the internet and everything is up and running like it should be, as normally it is, and study. Love to hear from you. In closing, let us go back to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks for listening. We bid you a pleasant day. Please tune in tomorrow.